You want to hear a cute joke? Cute joke. Sunday school teacher asked the children in her Sunday school class to draw a picture of a nativity scene. So all the kids started drawing a picture of the nativity scene. Had some of the usual things that you would see in the nativity scene. Certainly Joseph and Mary, and certainly Jesus and the manger. And there was, of course, a star and an angel and maybe a donkey, some shepherds. And they were all drawing the picture. And a teacher looks at one little boy's paper and she said, "Is that a dog?" And he says, "Yeah." She says, "Well, I've never seen a nativity scene with a dog in it before. Why do you have a dog in it?" And the little boy said, "That's the German shepherd." I didn't say it was funny. I just said it was cute. The sermon for today is entitled Humbug to Humble, The Salvation of Scrooge. And we're going to look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9, which says this: "For God chose to save us through the Lord Jesus Christ, not to pour out his anger on us." The Lord wants to save us, not pour his anger out on us. In the Message by Eugene Peterson, he puts it this way: "God didn't set us up for an angry rejection, but for salvation by our Master, Jesus Christ." So God's plan is not to condemn us. God's plan is not to reject us. God's plan is not to be angry with us. God's plan is not for us to suffer eternally. God's plan is to save us through our Lord Jesus Christ, that we might live with him forever in heaven. Salvation is God's plan. The forgiveness of sins, the sin that keeps us from heaven. God's plan is not to harm us, but to have a hope for our future. And we want salvation so much that we look for it everywhere. Like Scrooge, we look for it in money and possessions, but it's not found in money and possessions. We look for our fulfillment in things like education and knowledge, but it's not found. Salvation is not found in education and knowledge. It's not found in things like talents and possessions and fame. It's not found in trying to be liked by people or trying not to be liked by people. Because the thing is that we cannot save ourselves. And that's why we are so fortunate that it's God's plan not to harm us, but to save us. And he accomplishes this by sending his only son, Jesus Christ, to be that Savior, that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but will have everlasting life through Jesus Christ alone. God loved us that much. And he wants you to be with him forever, and he wants to be with you forever. And this is Christmas. This is the greatest gift of Christmas: God with us. God becomes human and saves us from death by sin to eternal life. You know, red and green are the colors of Christmas. Not because Santa's outfit's red, or because holly is green with red berries. It's not because the Christmas tree is green. It's not because we wrap our gifts in red and green or decorate our homes in red and green. Red is the color of Christmas because of the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for the sacrifice of our sins. And green is the color for Christmas because it represents life, new life, abundant life, eternal life, because of that sacrifice of Christ. Now, I know that probably during this time, you've probably been watching a ton of movies, Christmas movies. They've got all kinds of movies about Christmas that are on the air at this time. But none of them is greater than the true biblical story of Christmas. God becomes human to give his life for our sins that we can have eternal life. There's no better story. Of course, one of the more popular Christmas stories, perhaps, other than the true story of Christ, is the story of A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens, the story of Scrooge. And during this time of Advent, we've been using that story as a parable for what happens in our own life. Now, for us, the word Scrooge is synonymous with cranky, selfish, miser. And the character of Scrooge is so familiar to everyone that if someone was to refer to you as a Scrooge, you would know exactly what that means and you would understand that it's not a compliment. But do you know Scrooge's first name? Yeah, Ebenezer. It wasn't mentioned much in the story. But when the ghost of Christmases yet to come appears on the scene, he points, you remember, to a tombstone, and Scrooge clears off that tombstone. He sees on the tombstone his name, Ebenezer Scrooge. And that first name, Ebenezer, I believe that Dickens intentionally chose that name, Ebenezer. It's actually found in the Bible. In 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 12, Samuel says that he set up a stone as a monument, as a way of remembering God's special help. Here's what the verse says, 1 Samuel 7, 12. Samuel then took a large stone and he placed it between the towns of Mizpah and Jesena. And he named it Ebenezer, which means the stone of help. And he said, "For up to this point, the Lord has helped us." Now, the name Scrooge means squeezing. And Dickens used that to kind of give us an idea of the worst part of Ebenezer Scrooge, that he was this selfish man. But Ebenezer helps us to understand that Ebenezer Scrooge was not just this squeezing, grasping character, but also served as a monument, as a remembrance to the readers of A Christmas Carol. Dickens intended that Ebenezer Scrooge would remind us of the things that we ought not to forget. At least we end up like Scrooge's friend and partner, Jacob Marley, and the other spirits that walked the earth in sorrow along with Marley, dragging heavy chains that they forged in life. Scrooge's dead partner, Jacob Marley, was also just as selfish, just as greedy as Scrooge was. And he died, it says, on Christmas Eve. In other words, he died before Christmas. And symbolically, I think Dickens was trying to say he didn't know Christ. He died before Christmas. He died on Christmas Eve. And the death of Marley was an agonizing one. In death, Marley suffered. And Scrooge tells his old friend, he says, "Speak some comfort to me, Jacob." And Jacob's reply is, "I have none to give. It comes from other regions," meaning it comes from heaven, and that's certainly not what Marley was experiencing. "And of his chains," Marley says, "I wear the chains I forged in life. I made it link by link and yard by yard. I girded it on of my own free will, and of my own free will, I wore it." And Scrooge says, "But you were always a good man in business, Jacob." And Marley cries, "Business? Mankind was my business. The common welfare was my business. Charity, mercy, forbearance, benevolence were all my business." And he holds up those chains and he says, "At this time of year," meaning Christmas, "I suffer the most." There's no more hope for Jacob Marley. But there is still a chance of hope for Ebenezer Scrooge to escape the same fate as his friend. And to make that happen, three spirits visit Scrooge. And we have seen during our Advent messages that the first spirit caused Scrooge to start to feel regret for the way that he had been living his life in the past. And Pastor John had preached about that, how regret, or in biblical terms, godly sorrow, then leads to repentance. And last week, Pastor Nick explained quite well this whole idea of repentance and how Scrooge, through that second visit, started to repent of the things that he had done wrong. But with the appearance of the third and final spirit, Scrooge faces darkness and damnation before he sees the light of salvation. And to Scrooge, that last spirit is kind of like the death angel. And it shows him two deaths. One death of an unloved man, and the other, the peaceful death of the child Tiny Tim Cratchit. A death that's kind of illuminated by grace. But of course, that first death was the death of Ebenezer Scrooge himself. And he had to face his own death before he could be reborn to a new life. And everyone is in awe of the salvation of Scrooge. I was going to show a film clip to kind of see the change in Scrooge. Maybe we'll just skip that. Can we skip that, Frank? But you've seen the scene. He's rejoicing, you know, he finds him still, it's still Christmas Day, he's still in his room, he hasn't died, and he's just giddy with joy, and spends some time with his family, was it a turkey or whatever it was for the Cratchit family, and goes to visit his own family. And then the day after Christmas, he gets in before Bob Cratchit gets into work. And he says, "You're late again." And he thinks he's going to be fired, but instead he gives him a raise. And he tells him how he's changed. And he takes care of Tiny Tim. Tiny Tim doesn't die because he takes care of him. And he starts to become a different man. Salvation is for sinners who admit that they are sinners, and who regret the sins of their past, who repent in the present, and put their faith in Jesus for the future. And salvation is a gift of God. The worst sinner is not beyond repenting and receiving God's salvation. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, it says this, and Paul is writing this, "This is a trustworthy saying, and everyone should accept it. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and I am the worst of them all." I could really relate to that scripture. Salvation is for all people, anyone. No matter what you have done, your sin is not beyond the salvation that could come through Jesus Christ. Salvation can even save a wasted life. While we are here on earth, it is never too late to turn to Jesus for salvation. In John chapter 3, verses 17 and 18, we read this. "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through his Son. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son." He is our only hope. If we don't believe in him, we are condemned already. But that's not God's plan. God's plan is salvation through Christ. Scrooge feared death more than he feared his wasted life, because he knew that death was his loss of a second chance. And facing his darkest moment, it drove him to seek light. When we accept Christ, we receive God's Spirit. And our life changes. People need to see that we're different people. And they'll see that in our lives. The Holy Spirit gives us power to say no to the temptation to sin. But you know, it's not just important that we don't do certain things. It's also important that we do certain things. And we know that our salvation is real, where not only are we not giving in to willful sinning, but that we're actively living for God, loving others as He loved us, doing the things that Marley said should be our business: charity and mercy, patience and kindness. Here's how the Bible puts it. The requirements for those who are saved. It's in Micah chapter 6, verse 8. O people, the Lord has told you what is good, and this is what He requires of you: to do what is right, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. How did Scrooge live out his salvation? How did his actions show that he had changed? Well, he became a humble man. He celebrated his life with a profound appreciation. He gave to those who were less fortunate. He embraced his family. And all these actions show that he was no longer living for self. Now, here's the message that I have for you today. Salvation is now. Indeed, the right time is now. Today is the day of salvation. That's what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2. Salvation comes the moment we put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. As soon as you say, Lord, I want you to be my Savior, I want you to take over in my life, salvation comes. The forgiveness of sin and eternal life. Eternal life begins the moment Jesus enters into your life, because eternal life is knowing God. We can know Him now, and that's just the beginning. We know Him forever. Now, I know many people would object to this idea that salvation is in Christ only, but that's the plain teaching of Scripture, that salvation comes through Christ alone. There is salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. That's in Acts chapter 4, verse 8. Scrooge came to realize that there was no comparison between the temporary prize of things like money and the everlasting privilege of eternal life. So what must we do to be saved? What must you do to be saved? That same question was asked in Acts chapter 16, verse 30 and 31. A man asked, "Sir, what must I do to be saved?" And they replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved." In this way, salvation is offered to all people. You can't earn it. You can't work for it. It's a gift that God wants to give to you when you will believe in His Son, Jesus Christ. And that's the gift of Christmas. It's not the presence under the tree. It's the presence of God in our lives. That's the gift. Nevertheless, in the pursuit of worldly comfort, many delay coming to Christ. And in so doing, they take the chance of missing their chance entirely. While sin separates us from God now, unrepentant people will die and be separated from God for eternity. Not what God wants. We choose where we will spend eternity. It's really up to us. You can choose. If it's up to God, He wants you to choose Christ, that you might have salvation. Today is the day of salvation. Admit that you have sinned and have that regret for the sins of your past. And turn from those sins and turn to Christ. Ask Him to forgive you, to come into your life. Believe that he is the Savior. Make him your Savior, and you will find salvation. You will find fulfillment. You will find wholeness. And if you are saved, well, live like it if you are saved. For mankind is your business. And so show love, show mercy, show kindness, show patience. Do what is right. That's your business. And maybe by doing those things, it'll help you to lead others to know Christ and his salvation as well. Let's pray together. If I could just ask you to just take a moment, just be silent in the Lord's presence and give him an opportunity to speak more directly to you, more specifically to you. I'll close in a moment. If you would please stand with me, I would like to pray for you before I dismiss you. We have some refreshments downstairs, and we hope that you'll be able to stay for a little longer, or go downstairs, have some coffee and whatever else they have down there, tea, bagels, whatever's down there. Hope that you'll stay and have that time together. Almighty God, we just want to thank you for this time that we've had together in your presence today. Lord, as we've looked at the life of Scrooge, we've in some ways seen our own life. For we all have done things we shouldn't have done, lived in ways that we regret. And we know that as long as we're breathing, just like Scrooge, we have a second chance. Come to you, that you might forgive the things that we've done. We can't find forgiveness any other way. Only God can forgive sin. We thank you, Jesus, that you came to give your life, to take the penalty for us, that we could be forgiven, that we could have eternal life. Be all right with you. Maybe there's someone here today who the Lord has touched them and they want to have Christ in their life. They want to be changed. They want to live for God. And if I could just pray for that person, maybe there's one person, maybe there's more, but even if there's just one, and if this is kind of the prayer of your heart, just, you know, pray this own prayer. In your own heart, just pray this prayer or pray it in your own words. Jesus, I'm sorry for the things that I've done. I thank you that you were willing to give your life for my sin. I ask you to please be my Savior. Forgive my sin. Come into my life. And with your help, Lord, I'll make mankind my business. I'll make pleasing you my business. I'll make living the way that you want me to live my business. But by your grace, with your help, I do now receive you as my Savior. Take over in my life. If that's the prayer of your heart today, let someone know that you prayed that prayer today. And if we can help you in any way, we'll give you a Bible, we'll pray with you, we'll help you in any way that we can. Just let us know. Lord, now I just pray your blessing upon all that are present in this place, each family that's represented here today. I pray, Lord, that they would experience the peace, the love, the joy, the hope, the faith that comes from knowing you and really celebrating the real reason for Christmas. I pray that you would help us this week to live for you and to share our faith with others, that they would come to know you too and they could have this a true Christmas this year as well. And so, Lord, we love you. We thank you for this time together. Bless each one, Lord, as we go. Give us a good week. And Jesus, we pray these things in your name. Amen. Amen. Lord, bless you. Have a great week. I know Jackie wants to say something, right? Jackie, you want to say something?